Lee, Reel 2. Was there any operational flying done at Chingford?
Very little, but there was some. At least there were one or two aircraft which were kept for operational flying in an emergency. At about that time, we were getting Zeppelin raids were taking place. And, of course, these things came over very high, and they dropped their bombs pretty indiscriminately. And there was a lot of public... there was a lot of public feeling about it, and a good deal of feeling, of course, that the flying people ought to do something about it. Well, I know there was one occasion when two men went up from Chingford in a Sopwith, large Sopwith pusher. Can't remember what the aircraft was called. But they went up at night with the idea of coping with a Zeppelin. And as far as I can remember, their armament consisted of a Remington rifle and I think not much else. And they hadn't really... there was no proper arrangements for night flying, no proper landing light system or anything. And they went up. Now, whether they ran out of petrol or not, I can't tell you, but I know they crashed somewhere out north London way out, I think out towards Hatfield. And the pilot was killed, and the other one got away with it. But in my view, it was a complete waste of an aircraft and manpower.
Would that have been the view at the time? I mean, would you have been aware before the Sopwith even attempted to make the Zeppelin interception that really the prospects of it doing anything useful were pretty small?
Yes, I think most people reckoned it was pretty small.
I wonder then how one accounts for the fact that it was sent out, because one presumes that the aircraft
was
under the control of competent officers.
Well, I think I don't know who actually issued the orders, but they came, I think, from the Admiralty, presumably. And of course, a lot of the people at the Admiralty didn't know what an aeroplane could do. It's an honest truth about it.
Do you remember any amusing events at Chingford related to flying activities there?
Well, of course, life was chiefly serious, but there were one or two incidents. There were one or two pretty senior officers of the Admiralty who decided, for some reason or other, that they would like to learn to fly. Now, I suspect it was closely connected with the fact that if they once they were qualified, they drew an extra 8 shillings a day flying pay. But I know there was one old boy, a post-captain, who came down, and he was terribly ham-handed, and he smashed pretty well every aeroplane he got into. And eventually they got him up to the stage when they thought he might take his ticket. And I remember the CO of the station seeing me standing out on the tarmac, beckoned me over, and said, "Lee, go and watch Captain X get his ticket. And what's more, see that he gets it." So I said, "Aye, sir," and went off. And in due course, the old boy had to land to the mark. And, of course, I was the mark right out in the far end of the aerodrome. And I could see he was going to be miles away, so I ran like a stag. And the aeroplane came to a sort of grinding halt. The old boy said, "Have I got it? Did you think I did it all right?" I said, "Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir," and clapped like anything. Of course, he was miles away.
Now, after Chingford, you went on to Calshot for seaplane training.
Yes.
Yes. How did seaplane flying differ from airplane flying?
Well, of course, seaplanes were heavier. And the sea is popularly supposed to be a nice, soft thing to fall into, but in actual fact, it's extremely hard. And I found it interesting because, of course, it was far more the naval side than the land side of it. Most of the seaplanes, as far as I can remember, when I went there first, were shorts. Nearly all, I think, shorts of one sort or another. And one learned to fly them in the same sort of way. You started off doing straights and then taking up, going up and circling about. And then after a bit, we had a subsidiary station, Bembridge, at the Isle of Wight, where they were supposed to do the odd anti-U-boat patrol. And I got sent over there at a fairly early stage. And I'd hardly got there when they recalled the one and only short seaplane in the hangar there to Calshot and issued us with a new French aircraft, an FBA boat.
What was this flying boat like?
Well, it was you sat side by side, the pilot and the observer. There's a pusher, of course. And you were out in the open, so to speak. There was a little bit of a windscreen thing about 6 inches square, that sort of size, some distance away from you on the turtle decking. But, I mean, you were right out in the open, all right. And they had a monosopop rotary engine. And subsequently, I flew them a lot, and I quite liked them. They weren't bad aircraft at all.
At this stage, were they in service with the RNAS?
No. This one was the very first one that came over.
Yeah.
The French, I believe, had had them for some time, and it was in service with the French. But this was the very first one that came over. Nobody knew anything about flying it.
How were the first flights carried out, then, with this new
Well, I wanted to fly the thing, and the CO of Bembridge, he was a flight lieutenant. He didn't know any more about flying the thing than I did, but he's being by virtue of his being senior, he was supposed to be better at it, and so I suggested that he sent a signal to Calshot, which was the parent station with the CO of both stations, stationed there, asking permission to teach me to fly it. This came back approved, and in due course we set off together, he in the pilot's seat and I in the observer's seat. And we did an awful sort of porpoising hop over towards Portsmouth.
Trying to take off, you mean?
Trying to take off. And eventually we sort of fell back into the ocean amidst clouds of spray and small jellyfish. And at that stage, I thought I should do just as well by myself, to be frank. I thought he was going to kill me. Anyway, I suggested that he... we went up to a ship which was moored off there, which was a signal ship called the Gundreeder. I suggested we went up to that and signaled them to send a dinghy off and take him off and let him stay with the people on the Gundreeder for a bit and let me go along and see what I can make of this boat by myself.
How did that work out?
Well, it worked out quite well. Mm-hmm. I soon got the hang of it.
Yes.
And I flew it quite a lot afterwards.
Did you have any troubles with the FBA?
Well, not serious trouble, but some weeks later, I was on patrol one Sunday morning with an air mechanic as an observer, because in those days they didn't have proper observers, when I found that the switch wire had come off the magneto. And as I didn't want to try and land it back in Bembridge, or close to the harbour there, without a switch, I came down on the sea about 8 miles off Bognor. Well, that was all right. Came down perfectly well, landed all right. And the mechanic got up and put the wire back, and that was that. Unfortunately, I didn't know as much about the FBA boats then as I do now. And there was quite a bit of a swell on. And taking off, I let her get her nose down a bit too low. And we hit an oncoming swell, and she broke clean across both seats. Well, the next thing I knew, we were under the sea, of course. And I went up. She turned with her tail straight up into the air, because it didn't break the bulkheads behind my seat, fortunately. And the wingtip floats weren't broken, so she simply sat there with her tail straight up in the air. I went up through the flying wires one side of the engine, and the mechanic went up through the other. We met on top. And there we stayed for, I think, the best part of a couple of hours.
What were the repercussions of you bending this nice new airplane?
They confirmed me in rank almost the day afterwards.
So there's no comebacks at all?
No comeback at all. I'd been probationary up to then, and I got confirmed in rank. I think it sort of jollied a little bit to the idea that I'm still alive. I don't know. I can't tell you.
Now, you said that at Bembridge there was some operational flying being done in the way of anti-submarine patrols. How were they organised? How systematic were they? How often did you fly?
Well, you flew when the weather was reasonably good. Can't say that it was very systematically organised, but one flew every morning if you could, if the weather was good enough, and the aircraft was serviceable. Mm. And one flew round parts of the island, you know, and out into the Solent and so on.
Did there seem to be much prospects that you would ever come across anything?
No. I didn't ever thought there was very great prospects of it, no.
Yeah. As an operational pilot, what was the sort of general attitude to anti-submarine patrolling?
Well, of course, we hadn't had... at that early stage in the war, we hadn't had the knocking about with the U-boats we had later.
Mm.
Of course, subsequently, it was a very serious matter indeed. Mm. And in those early days, it wasn't really. It wasn't regarded as anything like a seriously as it was subsequently.
Mm. Did you fly any other interesting planes while you were at Calshot? Or
yes, after I'd been at Bembridge for a bit, I went back to Calshot. Exactly why, I can't remember. But anyway, I did. And I flew up one of the first, or the first, Newport monoplane seaplane that came to us from France. And that was a bit of a freak. It wasn't a bad aeroplane to fly in a way, but it had a rudder bar which went up and down, and it had a joystick which was very light indeed fore and aft, and was tremendously heavy sideways, had warp wings. And it wasn't a bad aeroplane, but I remember when I started off on the thing, the instructor at Calshot said, "Well, I'll be very careful, Lee. Both the Newport brothers were killed on this aeroplane," which is a nice, cheerful way to start off. But anyway, that's what happened.
How did it go?
Oh, it went all right. I wasn't killed.
Now, your first operational posting in the autumn of 1915 was to Dunkirk. What was your base at Dunkirk like?
My base was down in the Chantier de France. It was in the harbour, really. It was the seaplane base, not Saint Paul. Saint Paul was the RNAS land station, quite a big station.
It's where the anti-Zeppelin airplanes were flying from.
Yes, yes. And we were simply practically entirely on anti-U-boat patrols. Mm. And we used to fly every day if we could. I mean, every day the weather was anything like all right.
Yes.
But it was October, November and December, and there was an awful lot of fog about.
Yes. How big was the setup at Dunkirk?
We had two hangars. I think we had one short and we had about half a dozen FBA boats. And I was flying. We used to go two together if we possibly could. And there were only about four officers there. The CO of the station was the senior subaltern, senior sub-lieutenant. Then the next, and I was about the third, and the last one was a bit junior to me, and he hadn't flown FBA boats at all. Mm.
How was your patrolling organized?
Well, we flew every day that we could. If the weather was good enough, we reckoned to get out, morning and possibly evening as well. Mm. Because, of course, it's always in the early morning and the evening that you do got a good chance of seeing a U-boat.
So two patrols a day would be the average, weather permitting?
Yes, weather permitting.
And you went out in pairs?
Yes, and if you possibly could.
Yes. And what was the scope of the patrol?
Well, I can't remember how long you went. Of course, the trouble always